just a moment. Amen. I would like to feel this morning what your distraction may be. When the Word of God gets ready to come forth, there's always a distraction. Sometimes it's a physical distraction.
That's right.
It can be something that you're so preoccupied with that when the Lord uses the vessel of the Lord, or even as you're reading the Word of the Lord to say something, you miss it because you're preoccupied physically. And then sometimes mentally, the enemy will play with your mind. If you have your mind on things that God has already taken care of, God is trying to tell you, just listen to me today so I can give you instructions to make it through the week. But then you're preoccupied with what you can do or can't do, what you have or what you don't have. When you serve a God who knows everything, he knows about everybody.
Yes.
He can fix any situation.
Yes.
That's the kind of God we serve. You hear me now? So today I want your undivided attention just for a little while. Don't look at Reverend Thompson.
Amen.
Look for him, Jesus.
Amen.
When he talks to you, you'll know he's talking to you.
Amen.
Because God says stuff to you that only you know. And he'll speak it. And then you all will give credit to the man or the woman of God. It's not us. We're just telling you what we feel like the Lord is saying.
Amen.
But you can't get it unless you listen. Then you have to listen by faith. You hear me? All right, so you have to be alert and you have to be aware. Amen. Father, as we come this morning, giving ourselves away for a little while, Lord, that you can use us, Father, for your glory. Thank you, God, that you are still mighty, merciful, and marvelous. We invite you into this service, God, to speak a word unto us, for truly, as your Bible declares, there is a word from the Lord.
Amen.
My prayer today, Lord, as I step back, that you may step forward, is that the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart has been acceptable in your sight. For truly, O Lord, you are my strength, and God, you are my redeemer. Mm-hmm. In Jesus' name, I do pray. Mm-hmm. Let the faith of God say, amen.
Amen.
Hebrews chapter 4, verses 14 through 16. If you was here last week, you should be in read this chapter, amen. At least went back and read these few verses, ain't that right?
Amen.
From Hebrews, the fourth chapter. If you're able, if you have strength in your legs, I'm asking you to stand just for a little while. I can read a little bit. It won't take me that long to do it, amen. Everything will be all right. Read it from the NIV, New International Version. It says, therefore, since we have a great high priest who has ascended into heaven, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold firmly to the faith we profess. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to empathize with our weaknesses. But we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet he did not sin. Let us then approach God's throne of grace with confidence so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in a time of need.
Amen.
As you take your seat, we're going to continue to talk about grace. Try to make it real plain, real simple, and real quick. The grace of God talking, we are talking about the grace of God. We are talking about a gift of unmerited favor, where God will bless you despite you. That he has a set plan, a set way to bless us, regardless of who you are, regardless of where you live, regardless of what you know. God is set out to bless you.
Amen.
He blesses us because we are his children. And he will give us the desires of our heart.
Yes.
So as we come to the book of Hebrews, something happened in this book. The Christians were scattered throughout the land. They were scattered because most of them was persecuted. And let me say this to the church. When persecution comes, when trouble comes in the land, we know there's trouble in the land.
Yes.
I'm crying inside now. I don't want to deviate, but I got to deviate long enough for you to understand why, what your pastor's feeling this morning. Mm-hmm. I'm getting sick and tired of people just taking these young babies mm-hmm. and killing them.
Yes.
I don't understand that. And so one time I was looking at the TV, Deacon Hall, and it's just, I'm just used to bad news, shootings and all this life. But now when I see those babies on TV, my eyes begin to well up with tears because there's something going on.
Yes.
We're talking about the coronavirus.
Yes.
And some people are taking it real serious, mm-hmm. or maybe some people too serious. But then yet some of us are taking it too lightly. Right. When they tell you that it's here in the United States,
yes.
they mean it's here in the United States.
Yes. That's right.
When they tell you to wash your hands and cover your mouth and use hygiene, that's medical professionals telling you that there is a germ out here that could potentially kill you.
Yes.
Not only that, they are telling you that because there are remedies that we can use to come against that. So church, I want us to be aware of what people are saying.
Yes.
I mean, I'm going to say stuff that you're going to say, why is he saying it? I'm saying it because as a congregation, I know we can say stuff 1,000 times from the pulpit. And other preachers can come in and say the same thing. And then y'all go home and preach it to each other. And then turn around and do the exact opposite of what you know to be true.
Go ahead, pal.
Amen.
If you know that you go to the restroom and you need to wash your hands, you need to wash your hands.
Amen. Amen.
You, when you with other people and they don't wash their hands, you need to tell them, you need to wash your hands. We know we got children in the house, and children will forget. Ain't that right? They'll go in and then they'll be running all over the house touching everything. But you got to tell them, go wash your hands. So Thompson got this thing, she got with John and Jameer, where she tell them to say, well, in fact, you tell the grown folk, don't you, Mike? When you go in to wash your hands, sing the happy birthday song. And by the time you finish saying the happy birthday, your mitts and paws ought to be clean. Ain't that right? Yeah. So I want to talk to you this morning because most of us now are sick. A lot of people are sick. And it's getting to the point where people are sick. And those of us who used to be sick, now we're well. We forgot what it's like to be sick. So now we're saying you can get up. You can do better. Not only that, there are those of us who lost loved ones in our family. And when somebody else is suffering from the loss of a loved one, we who have been far removed from that, we act like we forget what it's like to be sitting on that road when you lose somebody. Listen to me, church. The world is not going to be sensitive to us and our needs and what we need to do. The world is going to act ugly, and the world is going to do things that are ungodly. The church ought not to be like that. The church ought to be kind. The church ought to be compassionate. The church ought to reach out to each other. The church ought to show love. And not only is it exhibited in the church, the family ought to do the same thing. I'm getting so sick of folks who act like they don't have family, don't know about it. The devil is a lie. A mama and a daddy birthed you into this world. Auntie and uncle, somebody took care of you. And some folks are tall and big. You ate something. Amen. Somebody took care of you when you couldn't take care of yourself. So we need to stop acting like don't nobody love us, because the devil is a lie. My Bible says that when I was not lovable, that the Lord loved me. Now you can act like you want to, like you've been in church all your life, and like you always hold it all the time, like you never tell a lie, like your feet don't stink. You can act like that all you want to, but I know where God brought me from, amen. And I know I'm just one syllable away from cussing somebody out. I'm just one syllable away from walking away from some man, because I don't have to do this just because I want to do it. I'm here because I want to be here. This morning.
Hallelujah.
Stop acting like you the best thing since sliced bread. You find somebody that want to be with you, go to church with you, work with you. They choosing to do that, amen. So you ought to be thankful that they are doing that. For the ones of you who trying to make grown folk do something they don't want to do, y'all know what y'all pastor getting ready to say, don't you? When folk get on your nerves, they keep going, all you got to do is turn and wipe the dust off your feet. I was eating when I met you. I was breathing when I met you. I had a roof over my head when I met you. I'm too old to jump the hoop. I can't do that no more. what you do.
Yes.
Yes.
But don't make people think that they are your source, because yes. only Jesus is your source.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
But Lord have mercy. Yes. In this book of Hebrews, the problem was that the children didn't have rest. The book of Genesis said God made everything. And then on the seventh day, yes ma'am, he rested from his work. And then the Bible said that Joshua took the children of Israel, led them out of the wilderness where Moses took them out of Egypt. Moses took them to the precipice of the promised land. But Joshua had the anointing to carry them into the land of Canaan. Am I right about it? And then what happened was, even though Moses took them there and Joshua took them there, the Bible says there was a rest that people did not receive. Now, God had told them when they was on the other side of the promised land, Miss Anne, that when you get into the promised land, food gonna be there that you ain't got to work for. Houses gonna already be there, what you need. Every provision that you need, God is gonna provide it for you. All they had to do was cross over the Jordan into the promised land. Y'all know what happened? The same folk that their deacon, Reverend Turner, and Deacon King was bringing out this morning in Sunday school was the fact that the Israelites was complaining about everything. Yeah. They had bread. God was raining bread down from heaven, and they were still complaining. All they had to do was walk outside their tent and get their manna and go in the house and bless it and thank God for it. But y'all know what they did? They complained about it. See, if a person complains, I don't care what you do, they still don't complain. They can say, well, I don't have this and I don't have that. You can go to the store and buy it for them and take it to their house. And then you can take food to somebody's house and say they don't have food. Some lazy rascal will stand there and look at you like you supposed to take it out your car, bring it in there, house, wash the meatball, cook for them, amen, put it on the plate and serve it for them, say the grace, pick up the spoon and the fork and put it in their mouth. No, no, you got to do something for yourself. God was blessing them. They didn't know it. That's what's happening to us. God is blessing us, but we don't know it. And the reason I told y'all to come out here, because I want to talk to everybody in this church. And y'all can do what you want to when I finish preaching. I really don't care. Y'all can have a private meeting and send me on my way packing. Just give me time to get my little robe and my little book, and I'll go on. But while I got time, I'm going to tell you about yourself this morning. First thing is, we set up in this church and we argue over communion. We argue over whether we're going to have communion quarterly, whether we're going to have communion on second Sunday. The devil is a lie. Do you not know that coronavirus is killing folk? Do you not know that cancer is killing folk? Do you not know that diabetes and heart trouble are killing folk? And I'm trying to tell you that God fixed communion so we could come to him and receive what we need from him and talk to him. And while you're in communion, you can get healed in communion. From your infirmities and communities, and first about communion. Well, I'm gonna tell you something. The reason I said we wasn't having communion today, I'm the pastor. I'm really gonna say we having communion. My goodness, they would have fixed the communion, and most of y'all would have came in here, y'all would have had the communion. But let me just say this, let me make a say this first. First of all, God showed me that whatever we decide on to do it together, he gonna bless the church. But I'm telling y'all, if y'all can't decide, that I'm gonna decide for you. Because when you come to the communion table, you're not gonna get blessed if you divide it at the communion table. See, y'all still don't wanna talk to me. See, that's what's wrong with the family. That's what's wrong with the church. We have so much division that God can't bless us. God's not gonna bless no mess. God's not gonna try to straighten you out. God already showed you what you need to do and how you need to do it. You can act any kind of way you want to. But Pastor Thompson is telling you this morning that you're not gonna stop my blessing. Because when I come to the communion table, I ask God for what I need, and he always provides for me. I'm trying to tell y'all like this. Gotta quit playing church. Bible says here that they did not enter into the rest in chapter 3 of Hebrews. They didn't enter in because they heard.
Jacob was saying, so some of them died in the promised land. And I'm trying to tell you here now, God is not playing with us. If you keep on messing around in the world, the young folk don't get there. Old folk will get it after a while. Old folk, you can say payday after a while. Young folk say it like Biggie. You keep on messing around, they're going to be some slow singing and some flower bringing, because y'all not listening to what God is trying to tell you. You can't do what you want to do in God's house. God's got set rules and set regulations. Keep on playing with God. Tell me who I'm talking to, but I know I'm talking to somebody. For a long time, God had mercy on me, Deacon Hay. He called me back to the church and cleaned me up. And I was so sad, ministers, that I sat on the back row where something shiny there, because I didn't feel worthy to come to the front row. But as I kept on sitting, as I kept on listening, as I kept on trusting, God started doing something in my heart and in my mind. And I'm talking to somebody now. God overlooked some stuff that you're doing right now. But when you get old enough to do for yourself and make your own decision, God gonna quit playing with you. He gonna bring folk by to tell you what you need to do. He gonna set some good examples in your life, and you can keep on acting like a fool if you want to, but God gonna do something to you. I'm talking to everybody in here that's got a living mama. If you got a living mama, you better learn how to treat your mama. I sure wish I could see my mama. I'm trying to tell y'all here, you keep on playing around with mama, and one day mama gonna be gone, and you ain't gonna tell mama what you had to tell. You ain't gonna tell daddy, your sisters and your brothers and your friends. You better start treating folk right. Don't wait till your church member die after y'all have fussed and fought over something that don't mean nothing. And then the person die, now you go going to the house with some potato salad, talking about tree song. Now you should have been selling while they were in it. Bible says that Jesus Christ was the great high priest who ascended unto heaven. There were a whole lot of high priests. Aaron was the high priest. But before Aaron could go in the presence of the Lord, Aaron had to take a vow. Aaron had to put on the right clothes. Aaron had to have the right mindset. Then Aaron had to ask forgiveness for himself. Then he had to ask forgiveness for his family. Then he had to ask forgiveness for the nation. And then he come in the presence of the Lord. But I'm trying to tell y'all in here today, you ain't got to do none of that. You ain't got to see no preacher. You ain't got to see no priest. All you got to do is call on the name of the Lord, and he'll show up. He'll fix your situation. You ain't got to do nothing. You ain't got to be special. Just walk in God's presence and humble yourself and tell God what you need, and God will begin to bless you. What you trying to fix, leave it alone. Back away. Let God straighten it out. I've been saying it in this church for 5 weeks. Ain't nobody listening. That is, stop worrying about what other people doing and just do your part. If you do your part. Oh, I ain't going there.
Yeah. Go ahead, man. Go ahead.
Aaron died. All the other priests that came after him, they died. The high priest in the Old Testament, Brother Jimmy, was the only one that had the ability to go in the temple without dying, because that was his authority. But the Bible said that Jesus Christ ascended to heaven. Yes. That means that he died. And he died with perfect, without sin. He died with blood that didn't come from no man. Because I tell you, when you be born into the world, you got the blood of your daddy. I wish I had somebody. That's why I'm always so famous. Because when you go on now, if you ain't got the blood type of your daddy, that is not the Father. Amen. And when you come into church, when you don't act like Jesus, when you don't look like Jesus, when you're doing all this other ignorant mess, you trying to tell me that he's not your father. You can act like he's your daddy, but if he's your daddy, you won't act like your daddy.
Amen.
John chapter 8, Israelites saying that Abraham is our father. Jesus said, if Abraham was your father, y'all would be able to hear what I'm saying. Then they said to Jesus, Abraham is gone. Abraham is dead. You ain't 30 years old. Jesus said, you still don't understand. Before Abraham was, I am. I am the word of God. I called Abraham into existence. I formed men out of the dust of the ground. I put the sun in the sky and the moon there at night so you can see. I fixed it where the waves won't even come up so far in the ocean. Go out to the ocean. Ain't it beautiful how the ocean will wash in on the tide, but it won't come but so far. Is that right? Get up in there because you want some water to wash your feet. But if you don't want to get wet, all you got to do is step back a little bit and it's going to obey God. It's going to stay right there. Ain't that right? But the only thing get me, everybody and everything can obey God but church people. Just like if church folk, the only ones I know that will not obey God. You give them the word of God. You give them the faith of God. You give them everything that God said. And after they hear my right, what thus said the Lord, they going to call a meeting and say, yeah, I heard what God said, but we need to do this.
Yep.
Oh, Jesus was the high priest.
Yes.
Hebrews chapter 4, verse 14. He was the great high priest because he ascended to heaven. Mm-hmm. Now in heaven, he went back and he took the perfect blood. Get a chance, go ahead and read Hebrews 9 for yourself to tell you about it. He took that sinless blood and he laid it on the mercy seat of God. I wish I had somebody. And if you covered in the blood of Jesus, when you go before the Lord, he don't see when you was drinking. He don't see when you was lying. He don't see when you was disobedient. He see the blood of his precious son.
Yes.
See, you the only one that believe that.
Yeah. Yeah.
The Bible says, for, listen to this. He said, verse 15, I'm getting ready to go. Says, for you do not have a high priest who is unable, my Bible says, the NIV says, empathize with our weaknesses. Some says, look upon our infirmities. Some says, sympathize with us. Let's break that down. You can have empathy for people.
Uh-huh.
That's why this version right here is okay, Sister Queen.
Uh-huh.
But it ain't quite what I'm looking for. Because you can have empathy with folk, Sister Melissa, if you kind of feel what they're feeling, but you never went through what they went through. Okay?
Yes.
Let me break it down like this.
Uh-huh.
You sick, but you never had counsel. Somebody else got cancer. They're going through treatments. They're going, their body is changing. You see that what they're going, they're suffering. And you've been sick, but you've never been sick like that. Ain't it right? So you can't sympathize with them because you don't know what it feels like. But you do know what it feels like to be sick. Okay?
Yep.
Some of us can't eat everything that y'all eat. Now, we cheat and eat some stuff, but we really not supposed to eat some things, ain't it right? So if you don't have high blood pressure, if your blood sugar is good and all of that, and you've had a cold before, but you ain't never had to eat a little breakfast, take your blood pressure medicine, then fix a vial of insulin and pump it into your system, amen, so that your blood sugar can regulate and not let you have a stroke or a heart attack. I wish I had somebody. And what I'm trying to tell you is you can talk about folk and say to them, try to comfort folk. If you've never lost nobody in your family, if nobody ever died in your family, you don't know what it's like. So when you go see that family, don't be up there trying to act like you know what they're going through. I don't care what you don't know what they're going through. Just show up and let them know that your love is there. But Jesus Christ is true. It don't have to say, it don't need to say sympathy. It need to say empathy. Y'all know why? Because Jesus Christ did not sin. He was the sinless Lamb of God. As a matter of fact, he really couldn't be tempted. Reverend Lamont read it to you where the Holy Spirit led him into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. But the difference between you and I is when you and I are tempted not by God, but by the devil. The Lord will test you, but he'll send the devil to tempt you.
No.
And when he tempts us, he going to show you what your weakness is. Because the devil, when he comes, he's not going to come with something that you don't like. He's going to come with the very thing that you like. And therefore, the temptation shows up. Ain't that right? But I just told you, Jesus was without sin. So he can't sympathize with us because he never sinned, but he empathized with us. He know what it's like for folk to turn on him and walk away. Amen. He know what it's like to lose a father because his father died. Amen. He know what it's like to try to do right by people that people still walk all over. He know what it's like to come and try to do his best for people, and yet those were the very people that turned on him. And then y'all try to wonder why folk close to you do the most to you, because they close to you. Amen. I told you, a person that if they can shoot you from a long distance, but for for somebody to cut you, they got to get close to you. Ain't that right? And when ain't it funny how church members and family members, when they do something to you, it cut deep, don't it? Because you never did expect that person to do what they did. Amen. But Jesus Christ, look at it. Jesus Christ had he has empathy for us, and it says, but my question is, how can you have empathy? It says, for we do not have a high priest who is unable to empathize, look, with our weaknesses, but we have one who has been tempted in every way just as we are, yet he did not sin. Yet he did not sin. If anybody is in this church this morning, if you have not sinned, I want you to step out and come up here so we can see Jesus Jr. So we can see Holy God. I want you to come. Because look, you might not be doing what you used to do, but you're doing something else.
Yeah.
You still need the Lord to help you. That's why the Bible says we go from faith to faith and glory to glory. We don't commit the sin we used to commit 10 years ago, but you still dipping and dabbling into some stuff. Ain't it funny how music can take your mind back to where you used to be? You can be sitting in church, and if I take my phone right here and start playing I'll Breathe, some of y'all mind will go right back to where you were when I'll Breathe made that song. Right? Jesus was tempted. So don't say, this is what it's saying, don't say that the Lord don't care, because he does.
Yes,
he knows what you're going through.
Yes,
and he knows how you feel.
Oh, yes.
And he's already made a way. Yes. Here it is, I got to go, because I ain't got to live with you. It said, let us. You see this? Look at the scripture. Verse 15. Let us. You are not the only one that can pray to God. Some folk feel digging, hey, unless they lay hands on you, pour oil on your head, and talk to God for you, your prayer didn't work. But I'm going to tell y'all right now, any preacher, any Christian, any mom, any daddy can pray for you. You can pray for yourself. But there's nothing like when you pray for yourself. See, when you go to God, you know all the deep mess down in your heart, and you need to tell God about it. And let me gonna help you now, because this only works how you trust him. See, going to God and to the throne of grace ain't nothing but prayer. See, when we get in the church, we got a form of prayer. We got a certain type of prayer we pray. Ain't that right? Lord, we're standing here this morning on bended knee. But when you get in trouble, you ain't got time for it, man. Lord, hey, Lord, I got a deal, dude, Lord. And I heard that you can fix my situation. I'm sick, Lord. And I'm taking medicine, but it ain't working. And the doctor's doing this, but I need you to do something for me, Lord. I wish I had somebody in here. Have you ever been praying for somebody else, and the more you pray for them, the more ignorant they got? You got to trust God that he's still working on your case. This Jesus, you can hear him. He said, let us come. And that word come is good, or your Bible might say approach, but it still means come. Christianity is the only religion where God came to us. Y'all don't believe it? Study for yourself. I'm a religious study major. I've studied every religion, read about it, may not know much of other folk, but what I know, I do know, that every other religion, you got to go to their God.
That's right.
Every other religion, you got to go to their God. But in our religion, you can call on the name of the Lord, and he'll come. Matter of fact, when you call him, he's already there.
Yeah.
One song said, when you call him, he's on the way. That's not theologically the same. Because he's always with you. If the Bible don't do it in the aspect, he said, I'll never leave you and I'll never forsake you. When you're in a bad situation, he's right there. In a good situation, God is right there. And what I love about God is he won't leave you when you're in your mess. Amen. And all you got to do is reach out and call him. Jeremiah said, I called on the name of the Lord and he heard me. Not only did he hear me, he fixed my situation. So I'm trying to tell y'all, with coronavirus and the way things are going, and ignorant folks in the land, in government, and in work, folk are dishonest. Even in the church, folk trying to build their own kingdom versus building the kingdom of God. And I'm trying to tell y'all this morning, it's just as simple. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from your wicked way. You just can't pray and go back and keep doing your mess. You got to pray and turn from your wicked way. But where about my wicked way? I got to deal with that. I got to give it to God. But you got to give your mess to God. You ever seen, I ain't never seen nothing like it. Folk in the church will tell you about everybody else, but notice one thing, they'll never tell you about themselves. They'll tell you about everybody else's child, but they won't tell you about their child. They'll talk about all the folk grandchildren, but they won't tell you about their grandchildren. They'll tell you how good they were back in the day, but they won't tell you how much pickle they smoke, how much dope they smoke, how many men and women they slept with. They won't tell you that. They won't tell you when they was on the job, putting money in the pocket that didn't belong to them. I ain't never stole none of that in my life. But take them trash bags back that you took. Take them paper goods back that you took. Everything that you took that didn't belong to you, you stole.
Amen.
They don't like me now, do they? I don't care. Won't be MDX by your key. Here it is. Let us. Look. Time to quit playing. Listen to me, y'all. Time to quit playing. Because people are really dying.
Yes, yes.
And if you look at our prayer list, people are really sick. Stop trying to judge the folk on the prayer list why they ain't in church. Because they on the daggone prayer list. They sick. Why haven't you called them by now? You trying to find out secondhand information about somebody rather than you going to see about them. I dare you to go to court trying to do that. When you go to court, you can say Reverend Thompson said, and the judge going to say, I'm inadmissible. He's not going to listen to secondhand evidence unless I'm there to testify on your behalf, unless I write a letter and have it notarized. He's not trying to hear what I said. And that's what I'm trying to tell y'all in here today, church. If you want to be a stronger church member, stop listening to what folks said about Jesus and get to know Jesus for yourself. Stop worrying about what somebody said about somebody else and get to know that person for yourself. Because I'm telling you right now, most of the time the devil is the one who's come telling you something. Because the Bible says that the Lord don't like discord, and the Lord don't like mess, and the Lord don't like strife. And anytime somebody always telling you what somebody said and what somebody did, there ain't nothing but the devil. Amen. As we approach the throne of grace, the throne of grace. See, the throne of grace, everything you need is at the throne of grace. You ain't got to go through nobody to get to the throne of grace. All you got to do is go boldly to the throne of grace. Then you're smart enough to humble yourself to realize you need his help. But then you don't have to go in with all this stuff. Look, when you go in to people that love you and you want to, say you want to borrow a few dollars from somebody that you know. Somebody you know they love you. Somebody that's been helping you all your life. You're going to go in and you're going to go in. Merciful Mother, I thank you this morning that your feet are so glorious. Amen. And your hair is so beautiful. Amen. I just want to lift you up this morning. Will you love me for $100? Y'all see what I'm saying now? Makes no sense, right? So when you go before a loving, kind, merciful Father who will give you the desires of your heart, if you ask by faith, there's no good thing that the Lord will withhold from you. Here it is. It says that as we approach God's throne of grace, it is with confidence, with boldness.
Yeah.
And when you do that, it says you may receive mercy and find grace to help you in your time of need.
Amen.
Boys, I get ready to leave here. There's a whole bunch of us sitting here and we need God's grace.
Yeah.
Boy, there's a whole bunch of us here today that we need God's grace and God's mercy.
Yeah.
Man, there's a whole bunch of us that right now we are in a time of need.
Yeah.
I wish I had somebody.
Yes.
I told you, if you sick or you've been sick, you know what it's like to go to God in a time of need because you need God to make a way out. out of no way.
Yeah.
You know what it's like to be in a bad relationship? Amen. The relationship may not be bad. The person may not be bad. But the devil has got involved in your situation. Amen. And you need God to help you in your situation. Amen. There's somebody else in here. You're working hard, doing all you can do, but your money's not needed. Things are not working. You need to come this morning to the throne of grace that you can receive mercy from God, and God will work on your situation. I talked to so many people this week, Sister Sonia, last week, as I talked about grace. Most folk love grace. So God, they love grace. But most folk don't appreciate God's grace until God's wrath comes. I wish I had somebody.
That's right.
See, you don't appreciate your health till you get sick, and then God fix your body. You don't, and then some folk, they'll serve God. They'll come to God. Y'all, when y'all are at y'all Lord's bed, man, everybody in church, ain't that right? When you ain't got no money, you serving God, you doing it. But the litmus test is this. When God blesses you with something, when you got the choice to come to church or not come to church, you got the choice to visit or to not visit, that's when God gonna find out who you are. That's when you gonna find out who you are. Have you ever seen folk, they into the Lord, they love the Lord, and then when trouble comes, some of them back away, ain't that right? So they say, no, you need to keep on coming so God can keep on blessing you. But then when God raised you up off your feet, don't forget what God did for you. Listen to me, don't forget what God did for you. It's called God's grace. It's called God's grace. See, I'm gone because y'all still sitting here looking. Lord, forgive them because they hear what I'm saying. But they want to keep on doing what they're doing. But that's all right. That's all right. That's all right. That's all right. Grace. Grace. Grace is here right now.
Amen.
Stand to your feet. I'm going to pray. I'm done. I'm done. I'm done. You didn't hear it. First thing you have to do is you have to come.